Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, RV, motorcycle, whatever it may be. The great people, and I mean great people, known them for years. At Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, online, sunburymotors.com. Okay, so, I know people will talk about transfer portals, and the two names that have gone in for Penn State have been Christian Driver and punter Alex Paquetta. And they're actually in. When you're thinking about punter, as James told me, I think he did it actually on the talk show. He was talking about they're looking to get a waiver on Riley Thompson. And plus they already have. Gabe Wosu as well. Already there and set. That's good. Okay, so, and Christian Driver, that's a tough one for me because I see so much. I see a lot with him. I think he could be a really good slot receiver for somebody. I know I talked about him on the pregame show. And because I really do like him a lot as a player. I like Alex as a player too, but I mean, I understand that he's got that logjam in front of him, and that's got something to do with it. And, of course, Kyle McCord of Ohio State was one of many Ohio State players that put his name into the portal today. That's the one that kind of shook everybody up a little bit, like, Kyle McCord, starting quarterback, okay. Among many. You know, Cam Ward's already in. But, like, Cam Ward and DJ Uiagalelei make sense. And here's the reason why they make sense. They're sitting there, and next year, what is the Pac-2? What is it? I mean, that's the part where you don't, like, you sit there and go, okay. You know, plus, DJ lost his coach, but Cam Ward, and who's going to see you play? No offense. Who's going to see you play? That does have something to do with it along the way. It does. All right. So that's the portal world, which is a world unto itself. This is the first day it's open. It's funny because Jack Ham and I were talking about that this morning. And the two of us are like, okay. There's certain people that make sense where they go in. It's like, okay, there's a logjam there, I got it. And then other people don't make sense. I don't know what the situation is at Ohio State, but hey. We're going to have with John Griffin today. Is John going to go at 1:30 today? Can we get, I don't know if it's, hope we can get John at 1:30 today. I talked to John after the game on Saturday. It really was a terrific win by Bucknell. Let's give credit where credit's due, and John did a great job with it. Again, credit where credit's due. So as John said to me, he says, Steve, we're going to have a lot of good things to talk about on Monday. Yes. So now let's get to Florida State. Let's throw out a completely different scenario for you, Florida State. If I'm sitting in the room, which I'm not, you know who I would have at least argued that, hey, I'm not so sure they should be there? Let's see what you guys think about this. I'd have sat there in the room and said, you know what? There's a difference between speculation and evidence. Should we be putting Michigan in? And they're not only in, they're the number one seed. And it is worthy of discussion. It is worthy of discussion. And I think that is really very interesting. No, it's not going to happen. But worthy of discussion. It was never going to happen. And then there's, in the transfer portal, by the way, talking about Kyle McCord, yes, Southern Columbia's Julian Fleming has put his name into the transfer portal. So Julian Fleming put his name in the transfer portal today. He's one of many Ohio State players that did. Not just Kyle McCord. I think Sonny Styles did too, which I, that one kind of... Think of which guy for Ohio State, the guys that put their names in for Ohio State that I saw earlier. Okay. But yes, Julian Fleming did put his name into the transfer portal. There is something going on there. Don't know what, but there's something going on. You know, McCord, of course, was the first domino to fall this morning. You're like, hey, yay, 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 yay. Really? Did I expect that? Nope. But then when I saw his name go in, I said, there's going to be a domino effect here. Like, I know Evan Pryor put his name in. I mean, Evan Pryor should put his name in at Ohio State. He's had a lot of injuries. He's down the depth chart. I understand, you know, and he may be graduating too. And Julian, maybe. I don't know if Julian's graduating or not right now. Somebody close to him would have to tell me whether he is. Because that part I don't know. Because obviously I don't know him well enough to do this. And by the way, with Alex Paquetta and with Christian Driver, they are both, by the way, scholarship players. Just so you know. So when you're starting to think about the 85, you always have to do this in the, you know, what keeps you right around that neighborhood of 85 scholarships. So you do have to use, the numbers have to be, have to work out right. That's what makes the portal tricky, along with how, you know, who you're signing in the early signing period. You have to somehow keep it at 85. And that's big. Like Dylan Gabriel put his name in. Barnes, the quarterback at Utah, whom I like. Who's, you know. Put his name in. But yeah. So, yeah, Cam Martinez put his name in. Been hurt. Okay, played some. Kyle Stokes, that one surprised me. I thought, you know, Ryan Turner, Evan Pryor, McCord, and Julian Fleming all put their names in the transfer portal from Ohio State today. Okay. And somebody asked, you think he'll play the bowl game? He's not playing the bowl game. She's already told him, I'm quitting on you. I'm not playing any bowl game. He'll go with probably Devin Brown, whomever, right? Next up, we're going to get more into the Florida State thing. I feel awful for those young people. Awful, awful, awful. And I know what the situation is at quarterback. I understand. But it's... I'll explain where the roots of this happen to be. The roots go back a couple of years. And I'll explain why in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
The United Way fights for health, education, and financial stability of every person in every community. Hi, I'm Kristen Moyer, Chair of the Board of Directors at the Susquehanna Valley United Way. Please consider making a donation to the United Way campaign this year, because change doesn't happen alone. To live better, we must live united.
Talk Penn State football and more with the biggest guests from the Sunbury Motors Studio on the Steve Jones Show.
Chris Wheeler.
What is it like to hear the passion in the stands and translate to the field?
The best way I can describe it to you and the Penn State fans, it's like every night's a red whiteout.
The Steve Jones Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. And weekdays at 1, streaming on our app, the Odyssey app, and on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I thought the Philadelphia crowd was extremely intimidating yesterday. All right, didn't seem to be bothered by that at all. We'll get to that later in the show. So let's get to the roots of what happened yesterday to Florida State. This all goes back 2 years ago. 2 years ago. When that... And I said it at the time, so this is not going to be out of left field. What I referred to as the Fraud Alliance. Remember, Kevin Warren, Jim Phillips, George Kliavkoff, we've got that alliance. Texas and Oklahoma are going to the SEC. George Kliavkoff, we don't need anything written down. A handshake's good enough. Well, today, there is no Pac-12. It's down to 2. Florida State's out of the playoff because the alliance delayed the 12-team playoff. Penn State should be getting ready to play Ohio State right now in Columbus. That's where they should be right now, getting ready to play Ohio State in a 12-team playoff. But because of the alliance, they are sitting there with four teams in the playoff, Florida State on the outside looking in. And Florida State's already mad at the ACC anyway because of their situation. They're already mad. Now it's worse. Great defense, played terrific against Louisville. Great defense. Terrific running back, by the way. Benson's really good. And Keon Coleman has been, along with Wilson, but especially Keon Coleman, has been terrific at wide receiver, the Michigan State transfer. And they won every game. But again, the SEC has this thing where they've got everybody. Now, the SEC has been terrific for years, but every season, this is where the people in what I do for a living, media, for some reason cannot grasp the concept that every year is a new year unto itself and every team is a new entity unto itself. Because Georgia won the national championship last year, okay, they're really good, but they didn't exactly play a great non-conference schedule, and in conference they played in the SEC East, which meant they played Tennessee, which is okay. But they play Florida, not going to a bowl game. Played South Carolina, okay. Played Vanderbilt, two wins. I mean, they aren't evaluated the same. Now, we all know if you go on the field, you're standing on the field and you're watching Alabama and Georgia warm up, you're like, oh, there's a lot of athletes out here. No question. But every team is an entity unto itself. This is not the 2022 Georgia team that was so dominant. Several members of that team were playing for the Eagles. Now, you wouldn't have known, but Jalen Carter did play yesterday, as invisible as he was. He kept getting buried by, I mean, repeatedly buried yesterday by Trent Williams over and over again. So, I don't mean, except for the penalty where he took a swing at a guy, I don't think I knew he was in the game. But it's a different team. You know, different quarterback, different defensive lineman, different linebacker. It's a different team. They're still really good. That's not the same Georgia team as the last 2 years. It's not the same Alabama team as last year. And let's give Florida State credit. I know they're right now they're a different team without Jordan Travis, so I understand that. But the roots of this are from the Alliance. They were supposed to have the 12-team playoff this year. This year, and all they did as an alliance was set college football back. This is why one of the key things that you have to have in any organization or government, whatever it may be, is leadership. And the leadership in college football has repeatedly failed the membership. This happened to be one of those times, and the people at Florida State, and I feel awful for those kids. Awful for those kids.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Okay, let's get to it here. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market 3 in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, light, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, bundles, whatever it may be, they'll do everything they can to save you money and to make sure you're fully insured. Let's bring in John Griffin, head basketball coach Bucknell. John, great to see you on Saturday. Congrats on a terrific win. I don't hear John. Did I miss something? Okay. Hit it on the side. I'm told we had John. I have John Griffin. Okay. I unfortunately, Todd, I can't hear John, or he can't hear me.
I think he's there now. It might be me.
Okay. All right. It's okay, Todd. Hello, John. John? This is not going as well as I thought it would. And John and I have a lot of positive things to talk about. So, is this going to be a case? There we go. I know we got
come
John.
Come on.
Hey, you are on, and you were on point on Saturday, John. Saw you after the game.
Yeah.
Congrats on a
great
win.
Great to see you, Steve. Thank you. It was great to see you. And leaving Happy Valley, happy myself. A win all around.
Yeah, a win all around indeed. Let's talk about comfort. When you are facing a team that has a lot of athletes, like Penn State does, and they've got athletes, how important was it for your team to do what they could, whether it's pace or changing the defenses, to make them uncomfortable?
Yeah, it was probably the name of the game right there. Our plan was to keep the ball in the middle of the floor. Coach Rhodes, Mike Rhodes, who being that I was at St. Joe's and he was at VCU for the last couple years, we've gone against him. I've prepared for his teams now at this point a good number of times. We felt that in order for us to have a chance to be in the game in the last 5 minutes, we had to control the tempo, change defenses, and limit our live ball turnovers. And we did a good job of hitting all three of those boxes.
To that end, what did Josh Bosco mean to that as to how he played in the game?
Yeah, he was just incredibly poised. I mean, to a certain extent, having played 9 games up to that mm-hmm. point, although it's taken a toll on some of the bodies right now on our roster, physically speaking, the mental part of it has been quite the advantage in that he's seen all different types of defenses. We played at Cameron Indoor. We just came off of playing a pretty almost a complete game against Princeton, aside from the last 5 minutes. So
right.
At this stage, he's played and been our primary ball handler for, you know, basically majority of our 9 games up to that point. So I'm very confident in him. He knows that I trust him. Our staff trusts him. I didn't really worry about him handling the ball. He's seen right. a lot of different types of defenses. He's seen great athleticism. We just worked on for 2 days leading up to the game where all the other players on the floor would be, because when Mike's teams are at their best, they are in full attack mode, and the opponents at times give up important spacing in order to maybe get an advantage, and we just worked on that, and he did a great job. Very important for us. He did a great job.
Yeah, he really did for you. Also, it's something that just over the years I've talked about a lot, is that one of the keys to winning a lot of games is if you can win both lines. If you can win the free throw line and the three-point line, it gives you a great opportunity. Now, you didn't get a lot of free throw attempts. I mean, let's start with that. But you won the two lines by 9. The final score was 9. What
yeah.
kind of job did your players do, especially to get the open looks they needed from 3?
Yeah, I mean, again, it kind of goes back to the fact that Mike's teams defensively are just so disruptive. And you don't really have the opportunity to run quote-unquote plays when you go against Mike's teams. That's not how they operate. And so we just had to maintain spacing and make sure that when we did get to the paint, we were drawing 2 defenders and we were making the right decisions. And we did, and our guys were ready to shoot. And it does help Jack Forrest, who's been the Iron Man for us, is consistently ready to go. And he's when he shoots it, I think he's going in. He thinks it's going in, and that's the type of attitude that our team plays with when he has the ball. So it's a great advantage for us. And, again, we've learned so much in the last month. We kind of caught Penn State at the right time, coming off of 3 really hard games in Florida. And I know that Penn State just you know, the ball didn't go in for them. I've been on the other side of that many a time. So I'm proud of our resilience. I'm really proud, Steve, of our poise in the last 3 minutes where we had to make the right decisions, make our free throws, and rebound.
You referenced Princeton in the answer before this, and there was a point where Penn State ran off five unanswered, something like that, to go up 64-60 right around that neighborhood. You quickly called a timeout at that point, and then it was able to right the ship. In part, was that part of your thought process because of what happened with Princeton on Wednesday night?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, look, this is my first time as the head coach going through all these new scenarios. And so after every game, almost every practice, I sit down with the staff. We, you know, reassess and are very honest with game management. And if there's anything that I learned from the Princeton game was to settle the team down and maybe more of a compromised emotional state, and then get a quality shot the next possession. So fortunately, we had just played in a similar style game, and I thought that collectively what we learned from the Princeton game was everyone has to be poised. Staff, players, everyone's got to be just dialed into the moment. We go possession by possession, and that was one of those opportunities where we could just regather and get back out there all connected. And they executed well. We got a stop. We need to get a stop.
I know Noah Williamson, you know, defensively is not, you know, this is my opinion. You can tell me if I'm wrong. But defensively, especially in a game like this, it's not his strong suit. But offensively, I was really impressed by he was able to get to the points he needed to go to. Where is Noah on the progression area for you?
Yeah, I mean, he's on a really strong path right now. One of the first things that I identified when hired through our April workouts before everyone left for the summer was his skill set. He reminds me of Crispin Naughton, who I play with at Bucknell, but he's a very highly equipped offensive player. He's got a very European-like footwork world to him that's to our advantage. So the physicality has a tendency to wear him down, but again, through game experience now, he is quickly recognizing that he could be effective as long as he doesn't give in to the physicality. And I actually thought that for the most part, I mean, Quaz Wahab is a really talented player. He's really underrated for his back-to-the-basket ability. We kind of made him take the shots that we wanted him to take. Noah did a good job not getting back under the basket.
Right.
But then we trust Noah, and we need him to keep progressing offensively for us to be a really competitive basketball program every time we're on the floor. So he knows that as a staff, we trust him as the head coach, that we're going to keep helping him improve, developing individually, and I think that gives him confidence, and you saw what could be on Saturday.
This is also a time where for once everybody gets to breathe a little bit because you're into that 10-day finals window. Now you're at this point where you can then pull them aside and start working on some things, John. What would you like to now work on that can make you a better basketball team coming out of finals?
Yeah, it's a great question. And there's a number of things, but I think most importantly, we just have to really find a consistent middle of the shot clock offense that the team is comfortable and confident in, so that we can keep the ball moving from one side of the floor to the other, allowing the fact that we can shoot to be an advantage for us. There's been times throughout the last month where the ball just gets stuck, for lack of a better word, in one player's hands, and then we struggle to get a quality shot out of that possession. So that's something that we need to work on collectively. Then defensively, we have to do a better job one-on-one. You know, the best teams are good one-on-one defensive teams where you don't have to rotate that much. And then at the same time, that's the two team elements. I think my strength and where I started my career and development in the NBA is still a big part of what I do and the staff that I hired. So we're just going to get in the gym and help these guys improve jump shooting, the mechanics of jump shooting, and stay in this mentality as a program of constant development, constant improvement. And this is a great time for us. I mean, Mike doesn't have that same 10-day window. He's going up against the Big Ten. But for us, we do have a nice break here till our next game. So it'll give us an opportunity to, again, go back, watch some film, and clean up what we need to clean up, and then keep going forward.
You mentioned experience when we were talking about calling a timeout at a certain spot, especially after Princeton. Big picture now. Next year, how do you at least have initial thoughts on how to change your non-conference so you're not sitting there playing 10 games before December 2nd?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, we can't stack the games up like we did. I think the calendar of November and December are just really important for us. Obviously, we have to work around exams. For that rest of the time, we just have to make sure that we're giving the proper amount of rest so that the physicality of these games doesn't wear us down mentally. And then at the same time, like the opponents and the strength of schedule is always something that I want for Bucknell.
Excuse me. Right.
That experience in itself prepares you for the January, February, March months of your league season. And so in some regard, and looking back, you don't want to have 10 games in such a short time because you don't have enough opportunity to really teach so that, you know, the group is as connected as they need to be. But in another sense, like in looking at it right now, this group has kind of learned how to win a game that is not practice related. You know, practice is great for detailing the details, but you, and I heard this a long time ago, it's impossible to replicate a game.
That's right.
It's impossible. You can't replicate the emotions, the fans, the lights, the whistles, and on top of it all, your opponent. We are learning how to win through real-time situations, and that's something that we'll be able to fall back on. But as it relates to next year, we just have to do a little better job, or I have to do a better job here of spreading these games out so that physically it doesn't impact the mental side of the game, which is, you know, so important to winning.
And and again, you have to work around a little bit larger finals window than some other programs too, so that does enter into it. Just one final thought. What was the locker room like? What was the bus ride like back?
Yeah, well, the locker room was great. I got to tell you, Steve, this group, they work very hard. And so as a coach, and if you ask any coach, it's really just to see a little joy, a little smile, some sort of just positive body language that makes this what it is, makes you feel good as a basketball coach. So it was really fun to see the group collectively, because everybody in the team, 1 through 14, played a major role in our win. You saw a bench had great enthusiasm throughout the course of the game, and everyone has a role. And so they were just really fired up. I was really happy for them because we've had some tough losses, and we've been in almost every game to a certain point. So it was really a really happy moment for them. The bus, I mean, there's not a better 1 hour and 5 minute bus ride from State College to Lewisburg than the one that we just had.
Sure, of course.
So I'll take that any day. I'll take that any day. I have such a massive, massive respect for Mike Rhodes. You know, when I was a player at Bucknell, this is full circle. Mike was the head coach at Randolph-Macon.
Yes.
And because of his relationship with Pat Flannery, Mike used to bring his teams to Lycoming to play in a Christmas tournament. And I, as a player, student, athlete, 18, 19, used to just sit there. And Mike was so gracious. He'd let me just watch his practices. And I was just so amazed with his intensity and the balance of his intensity and his ability to communicate with his guys.
Yep.
And so that's how long I've known Mike. And Mike, year after year, has done just amazing things. And he goes to Rice, which is one of the hardest places to win in the country that people don't know about. He has great success. And he's a Pennsylvania guy through and through. He's a Pottsville native, and I know they had a nice event for him. But I have a massive respect for Mike. He's a mentor of mine, and so I know he's going to be – that team's going to be ready to go. I know he's disappointed, but they're going to be ready to go going forward, and I have actually zero doubt about that.
Yeah, no, it, you just said all the things I could say about Mike because I'm around him every day. I can see the kind of coach he is, the kind of teacher he is. But you know what? I see the same elements in you as well, and I congratulate you on a great win. And now hopefully you can at least take a moment, savor it, and then, of course, I know you'll get back to work.
Yeah, yeah, we're back in the office today, Steve. You know, being the son of a coach, my brother and I, we were taught to enjoy the win until you wake up the next day. So we did that. And then, you know, life goes forward as it does in any line of work.
John, congrats. Great to see you,
Steve.
After the game. I was really happy for you.
All right, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You bet. John Griffin, head basketball coach Bucknell. Terrific win for them on Saturday here at the Jordan Center, winning by 9, 76-67. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors is going to make December 2023 a December to remember. Every Ford, Kia, and Hyundai will be discounted to levels you haven't seen since before COVID. Sunbury Motors Ford, discounting 2023 Ford Escapes up to $5,000 plus 3.9% APR financing for 72 months for qualified buyers. There are 30 available to choose from. Also, save $9,000 off F-150s and 2.9% APR for 72 months. Sunbury Motors Kia has brand new Kia Fortes starting at $20,785. 7-inch stock and ready to move. If you're looking for a multi-purpose vehicle, Sunbury Motors Kia has 7 8-passenger Kia Carnivals starting at under $37,000. All Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has the financing everyone's looking for. Buy a 2023 Hyundai Santa Fe or a 2024 Hyundai Tucson and get 0% APR financing for 60 months. Sunbury Motors is going to make this December a December to remember. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Golden Strip, Hummel's Wharf, Sunbury Motors Ford, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Okay. Great to have you with us on the show today. And Todd, great to have you on board, my friend.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So what did you think about the Florida State thing? And what did you think about my point that maybe Michigan should have been left out?
Actually, I texted some friends yesterday and thought the same thing. You know, their biggest wins are probably, Penn State and what I think is probably one of the worst Ohio State teams in a couple years.
Todd, that's not my point. My point is they are under an NCAA investigation and serious stuff. And I think they should have been left out and Florida State should have been included.
I don't disagree, but... You know, that doesn't ever have seemed to enter into anything the NCAA does, though, sometimes.
Right. So, overall, who are your four? Did they get the four right or wrong?
I'm torn on Florida State just because I did watch the game Saturday night, and they did struggle offensively, but that defense was so good. But I also don't know how you penalize Georgia for one loss in their last 26 games. I think there's six or seven deserving teams. I mean, I think you can make a case for Oregon, whose only two losses are by, 3 points each to Washington?
Yeah.
I guess still didn't give you a four.
All right. Well, you know, again, this goes back to that alliance. That's what it comes back.
You know, there's no good way, 12 teams probably lessens the controversy, but I'm sure... You know, once we get there, there's going to be controversy over, 13, 14, and 15 for that last spot, too.
Right. When we get to 12, there's going to be a controversy over who's 12, 13, who's going to be 14, 15. Okay. That part is something that is going to be, that'll be the controversy next year. But it should have been done this year. Because they had it done for this year. But because the alliance came up and Kevin Warren and Kliavkov and Jim Phillips were all sitting there and they were like, oh, no. And they blocked the expansion of the 12-team playoff, which I complained about at the time. I said, I don't get this. This actually benefits you. And Kliavkov was the one I was really confused about. Because, wait a minute, you are saying no to this when you haven't had a team in the playoff in years? Really? I'd be the first one to say no. Don't do this. And they're the ones that delayed this, and Florida State's in this position today because their commissioner joined the other two guys in what was, as I said at the time, a fraud.
And you know, does this end, you know, Florida State's relationship with the ACC? Is this the final step? You know, they weren't happy in the spring. Does this make them less unhappy, and are they going, do they end up in the SEC now too?
That's a great question, Todd. And again, a lot of this has to go with that grant of rights, which is sitting there. I know some people want to pass it off. Florida State signed it. So there's an exit fee on top of a grant of rights, which is your television rights. How much of that, what percentage of that are you willing to sign away? And that's a big question. So, all right, we'll take a break. Todd and I back in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.